Mark Roberts is docked in Petersburg, getting his fishing boat ready for the July 1st King Salmon opener. He's painting the exterior of the Cape Cross. That's his 46-foot-long wooden troll boat that was built more than half a century ago.
I'm just working on her, fixing her up and stuff like that.
Roberts took a break from fishing for several months because he just had one of his heart valves replaced. But he says he's pushing through the pain this summer because it would be financially impossible for him to sit out a whole season.
Because of my heart situation, well, I paid for it. I got to do twice the work this year. But, you know, I'm putting it back together and I'll have it back together here. I just need sunshine.
Roberts has fished in the Gulf of Alaska for about 30 years, but he came very close to skipping the whole summer season last year when the Wild Fish Conservancy sued the U.S. National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration to halt commercial trolling for kings in southeast Alaska. The conservation group, which is based in Washington State, argued that a closure would protect a declining population of killer whales near Seattle. A federal appeals court issued a stay on the lawsuit, keeping the fishery open.
I was basically ready to tie my boat up to the dock and not fish until August. But once they announced it, boy, I started my engine and took off and went fishing. And I was very grateful about it.
That lawsuit is ongoing. But now, Roberts is staring down the barrel of another move against king salmon fishing by the same group, which filed a petition to list the fish with Endangered Species Act protections in January. NOAA announced it would move forward with its regulatory process for considering the request in late May. The request could have a huge impact on how Alaskans fish across the entire Gulf. The petition asks for protections for an area more than 1,000 miles wide, or just a little longer than the distance from New York City to Orlando, Florida. Roberts says it feels like another attack on his fishery, which he considers to be low impact and sustainably managed.
Because I want the salmon to come back too. So it really surprises me that these people are coming after us when we've already are doing things to bring back the salmon instead of just shutting everybody down, because this will hurt everybody. So it really surprises me that they're coming after us like they are.
But Emma Helverson, the director of the Wild Fish Conservancy, says it's not personal. She says the petition folds in feedback from a lot of people across the state who are afraid the resource won't be around for future generations.
People throughout the state who maybe aren't even sure how they feel about Endangered Species Act protections, but they're seeing these problems and they know something has to change. They know we need solutions. And actually, the day before we submitted our petition, I got a voicemail from an Alaskan saying, hey, we got to list these fish because I'm seeing these fish disappear before my eyes.
Helverson has heard from Alaskans like Willard Lind. He's a citizen of the Chignik Lake tribe, and he's lived next to the Chignik River on the Alaska Peninsula for all of his 63 years.
When I was a kid, there's a place we call shallow water in the river. The place used to be loaded with kings, man, holy cow. It'd be swimming all over the place, but nowadays you don't see one king in that shallow water hole anymore. I'm all for this petition, whatever you call it, to stop these kingfishers, but I hope it goes through, you know.
Salmon runs collapsed on the Chignik in 2018. Sockeye salmon have slowly been returning to the river, but kings are still scarce. Lind says he wants fishing for kings to stop, even in southeast Alaska, hundreds of miles away. Not all conservation groups are on board with the Wild Fish Conservancy's request, however. For instance, the Alaska-based environmental group Salmon State has come out against it. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game has also been one of the petition's loudest critics. Fish and Game manages all king salmon stocks in the state. Doug Vincent Lang is the department's commissioner.
It was really, of all the petitions I've ever seen come in for a listing of a species, that was by far the most poorly written petition I've ever seen.
And the National Marine Fisheries Service did note in its findings that while the petition included numerous factual errors and unsupported conclusions, the numbers were concerning. Vincent Lang says that if the petition is pushed through, it would effectively federalize management of king salmon as a resource in Alaska. And, he says, if king salmon are endangered, the federal government will have to establish what's called critical habitat, which means any river or lake in Alaska where king salmon spawn, those could be subject to more federal oversight, too.
This is fairly far-reaching implications in terms of how king salmon could potentially be managed into the future.
The Wild Fish Conservancy acknowledges the criticism lobbed against their petition, but Helverson, the Wild Fish Conservancy director, says that, regardless, the process will generate data that could lead to important localized recovery for king salmon. But it's likely that if Alaska's kings do make the list, the protections would be applied in a piecemeal fashion in specific places across the Gulf. The National Marine Fisheries Service's findings will set off a more rigorous scientific review. The public has until July 23rd to share their thoughts on the potential endangered species listing. Reporting with Jack Darrell in Ketchikan, I'm Shelby Herbert in Petersburg,